You could be seated. I forgot I was up, guys. We had Logan leave yesterday, and it was just a long, emotional day, so I apologize. If it is your first time, welcome. We have some celebrations this week. Tomorrow, it is Nikolai and Pastor Logan's birthday. So can we sing to them?
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Nikolai, happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Yay. You guys don't want to hear me sing into a mic, that's why I'm waiting for our lovely worship team to do it. We also have Sabrina's birthday this week, and she's off in college in Valley City. So if you have her number, text her, or we can give you her number. And then Lisa's birthday is the 27th. Also, if you want to be added to the directory, please let me know. That's the only way we know if there's a birthday or an anniversary. So if you don't see your name up there, it's probably because I don't have your info. So if you're not in the directory and want your to be in it, just let me know. We do have a ladies' ministry meeting today at 3 p.m. in the fellowship hall. All ladies are welcome and encouraged to come. We have Wednesday night Bible studies for all ages at 7, so invite a friend and come to that. As always, we have dinner for the kids around 6:15, 6:30. And then we have a picture of the re-cemetery sign that was installed in case you weren't able to be there. So we're still encouraging you, if you can, drive out there and see it in person.
Thank you for the birthday wishes. But before we open up in worship, this has kind of been a week, and I feel like it's been a week for a lot of people, where if you had known this week would have happened, you would have just stayed in bed all week long. I know that I would have. It's just been one thing after another. So as we go into worship, being the sound guy, you know what they're already going to sing, but we're going to sing about confidence and having confidence in the faithfulness of God. So as we go into a time of worship, just sing, because even if you don't feel like singing, you don't feel like worshiping. I know I don't feel like worshiping the week that I've had, but go confidently before the throne, because the confidence and the courage that he gives us, even on the weeks that are like this week, with the seniors leaving, with two funerals and a bunch of other things in our personal lives. So if Beth wants to open up in prayer, and we'll go into a time of worship.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I have something going on in my spirit, or I wake up with a scripture or a song, or just a couple of lines from a song sometimes. But this morning I woke up with Psalms 96. And I just want to read you the first couple of verses there. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations and his wonderful deeds among the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Why don't you stand this morning? Father, we just come into your presence this morning. We come to praise you, Lord. We come to worship you, Father. We come, Father, to bring the best gift that we have to you. We come, Lord. We come. And we're going to sing because you are great. And you are greatly to be praised. And if we don't, the rocks will rise up. I don't want a rock to take my place. I'm sorry. I just don't want that. So, Lord, I've kind of had a icky week too. Logan, and so I know how you feel. We're just, this morning, we're just going to praise you. We're just going to empty ourselves of all those things, all those earthly things that hold us back. And we're going to put our eyes on Jesus. We're going to put our eyes on you. And we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name. I just want to invite you, if you want to come to the front, you sure can. Or you can stand out in the aisles or in the side over there, whatever you want to do. We just welcome you to do worship him like you feel like you should.
Church, as Beth just continues to play quietly, I want you for a moment just to close your eyes. Every person in this room. And I want you to picture the one thing that you need God to do. Whether it be a physical touch, whether it be a financial miracle, whether it be a restoration in your marriage, whether it be just that you are so absolutely worn out that you feel like you can't take another step. And you picture that one thing in your mind. And when you do, there's going to be 1,000 reasons that come up as to why that won't happen. Logic's going to come in and say that that's impossible, and reason and all these things. But church, we're not taking that need before a pauper. We're not taking that need before somebody we have to pay in order to get that need met. We're taking that need before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the God of the impossible, who makes the impossible possible. So I want you to fix that need in your mind, because I'm telling you right now, that what God has been working in my heart all week was for this moment, for this service. And this has been a week like no other. I have faced things pastorally this week that I never thought in all my years of ministering would ever come together at one time. And yet here we are. And it's not just me. I've talked to so many people in this church that have just faced one thing after another. And I was talking to Pastor Brian this morning, and it seems like there's times where the enemy attacks. And you know it's opposition from the devil. You know that it's a host of hell that is fighting against you. But then there's times where it doesn't feel like a spiritual attack. It feels like life itself. And I haven't sensed an evil attack in my spirit. I haven't sensed that the devil's just trying to crush. All I've sensed is that wherever we sit right now, life has worn most of us down. It's been day after day of things not going right, of things that you prayed for not being answered. It's been day after day of just sitting and wondering, when is Jesus going to walk by? And so you fix that one thing in your mind. And I'm going to change the order of service for a little bit. We're going to skip offering and go straight into just a very short message, but I want that one thing for you to burn it into your mind, because that is the one thing that God Himself will meet for you today. When I was preparing the sermon, when God gave me the text for the sermon, immediately all these ideas came up as to why I should go somewhere else, why I should do something different. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and I know what this prayer means. But I'm going to pray in just a minute that God would unleash the faith of His people. Over and above what your eyes can see, over and above what you think God can do. That we remember that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you on behalf of this church, Father. Not as someone who is separate from this church, but God, somebody that is deeply tied to this church, to all these people. And Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would release both the gift of faith and that you would increase our faith. God, I'm reminded in your word when the man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so, Father, there comes a point where we believe, but you have to take us further than what we can do. And so I pray right here, right now, Holy Spirit, that you would move through these aisles, that you would touch every heart, that you would touch every mind. God, that that need that is at the forefront of their minds, God, that they would see you behind it, and they would know, Jesus, that you are so much bigger and so much greater, and that at the mere touch of your hand, at the mere whisper of words out of your mouth, the impossible becomes possible. So, Father, over the next few minutes, I pray that you would seal this room. Holy Spirit, that you would put a covering over this room, that all distractions would cease. God, that everything that would seek to take our attention off of you would be moved out. And that, God, for the next few minutes, we would come to the feet of Jesus. Not a self-perceived Jesus, not anything less than who you are, Lord. That's who we come to. We come to the one that can raise the dead. We come to the one that can speak into a tomb and life appears. We come to the one that has tasted death and won. We come to the one that is now seated at the right hand of the Father on high. The one who makes intercession for his people. The one that will soon come again in power and glory. The one that is far exalted above every name. All rulers, all authorities, all principalities. We come to your feet, Jesus, and we ask today that you would do the impossible for us. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because of who you are.
Yeah.
Father, that you would stretch forth your hand over this church, that you would touch each and every one, Father. And God, I praise you in advance for what you will do. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to move right into the scriptures that the Lord has put on my heart, and I'm not going to be up here long. I don't think I'm going to just give the scriptures and get out of the way and let God do what God's going to do, but the title of my sermon for today, and just we're going to leave the kids in here for right now, and I'm just following the leading of the Holy Ghost. So in John chapter 5, verse 1, we read the following. John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches." Bethesda, in Hebrew, means house of grace or house of mercy. But it can also mean, by itself, shame or disgrace. So keep that in mind as we go through this. It can mean house of grace or mercy, but that's not always what it means. It says here that in these five porches lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. And so what you have here, I'm just going to paint a picture for you, is you have a vast multitude of people. The pool of Bethesda was a little ways from the temple, so they're not at the temple. They're not at the house of God. They're somewhere separate. And they come and they lay there day after day after day, and they know roughly what time the angel will come down and stir the waters. But the implication here is that it's not a direct set time, that they don't know exactly when it's going to happen. They just know roughly what time. And so they're sitting here, and it's a bunch of people that are laying together, the sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they're all waiting for this water to stir. And so if you're paralyzed and you see that water stir, there's nothing you can do. If you're blind and you see that water stir, you can't even see it stir. You got to have somebody tell you. So the chances of you being the first one into that water is slim to none. And so they sit there, and day after day, they all gather in this place, and they wait for this angel to come down and to stir the waters. And the first one in gets healed of whatever they have. That's amazingly awesome, right? That's something that we should praise God for. That's absolutely awesome for the one that got healed. It's not quite so awesome for those that don't get healed. And so imagine sitting there with surrounded by everybody, and I doubt the conversation, if you're sitting with a bunch of sick people and lame people and paralyzed people, and you're one of them, is, man, isn't today just a great day? Isn't God so good? Let's rejoice and sing. Let's praise God. I doubt that's the conversation that's happening. Probably the conversation that's happening is, I wonder when it's going to be my time. I wonder if I can get to that pool first. Maybe you get there and there's not even room by the pool, and so you're on the outskirts and you know that there's no way you can make it. You can't possibly get there. Maybe you're that person. And so when we have this picture, we talk a lot about the stirring of the waters and how great that is, but we forget the rest of the people. Going further, in verse 5, it says, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years." Imagine that. Imagine being at this place 38 years, day in, day out. That is 13,870 days that this man had an infirmity, that he could not get healing, that he could not get in the pool first. It's 13,870 days that he saw 13,870 people get their healing, but not him. Could you imagine the faith it would take to get up and go sit again at that place? Could you imagine the discouragement and the defeat that would come day after day after day when you watched everybody else get their healing except for you? Could you imagine if the group that you sat with, if you saw one of them get healed one day, and 3 months later you see another one get healed, and a year later another one? At what point do you give up? At what point do you say, it's absolutely hopeless for me to be here? And the Bible doesn't say that he sat there with a massive amount of hope and that his faith was rock solid. It doesn't say anything about that. What it says is that this man had an infirmity for 13,780 days. But then something different happened, something that had not happened in those 13,870 days. We read in verse 6, it says, "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" So first off, this man did not go to Jesus. He couldn't. He could not go to Jesus. Jesus came to him. So if you're here, it's not about you coming to Jesus. It's about the fact that Jesus is here, that he has stepped into this church today. Jesus already knew this man's condition. This man did not have to get up and give a speech. This man did not have to introduce himself. This man did not have to say, "My name is so-and-so. I'm the son of so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so." Jesus knew this man, knew his condition, knew how long he had that condition. He knew this man. Without this man ever going to Jesus, he was known by Jesus. Jesus intimately knew him. He says, and he asks this question, he says, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, I'm a logical person, I'm a reasonable person, so that question does not fit in my mind. Why in the world would Jesus ask him, "Do you want to be made well?" You would think that the very fact that he's sitting at that pool and has done so for 38 years is a very strong declaration that he wants to be made well. It's almost like a rhetorical question. Do you want to be made well? But what if I asked you that question today? Do you want to be made well? Because that's the question that sits before you and I today. It's not even a matter of, can Jesus make us well? It's, do you want to be made well? Because sometimes what happens, and it's what happened to this man, and we'll see from his answer why he's like this. But this man had sat so long without his prayers being answered that Jesus had to ask him that question. He had to remind him that the point was not to come and sit and wait. The point was, do you want to be made well? This man's response in verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir," doesn't even call him Jesus, just calls him sir, "I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Imagine that. Imagine that you don't have anybody in your life that can get you where you need to go. Imagine that you are all by yourself, surrounded by people, and no matter how quickly you move and how hard you try and get there, somebody else gets there first. You ever felt that way? I felt that way. But I want to point something out here, because it's going to matter when we open up these altars. It says, "I have no man to put me into the pool." See, for him, it wasn't just getting to the pool that mattered. It was the fact that he was dependent upon a person to get him what he needed. And I'm telling you right here, right now, you don't need any person in this church to get you what you need. We have altar calls, and a lot of times I pray over people. That's not how you get what you need. That's me coming alongside you in faith, praying to the only God that can do anything about your situation in agreement for your situation and for what God can do. The gift does not come through me. It's not something that God does through me. It's something that God does for you, and I'm only there in agreement with you. And so when these altars open up today, it has nothing to do with me at all. I could go sit down in that back corner and God can do whatever he wants to do. It's not about who can get you where you need to go. It's about the fact that God shows up and he meets you where you are. He says, another steps down before me. We're human beings. I know of some people that really, really struggled to get pregnant. They poured money into it. They spent years into it, and they could not, for the life of them, get pregnant. Years. And the thing that amazed me about them is they didn't do the typical thing where they got bitter and they got hard-hearted. She was the first one, when somebody said she was pregnant, or that they were pregnant, she was the first one to cheer them on, the first one to celebrate them, the first one to understand that God had given life to somebody. Years this person waited, begging the Lord, going up for prayer, doing everything that they knew how, but she never stopped celebrating the goodness of God in the lives of other people. And they now have two beautiful babies. It took them a long time, but she never got bitter. She never got downhearted. This gentleman here, I wonder if he was the same way, watching another person step down before him every time. It says that Jesus said to him, so simple, doesn't even say he touched him. He simply said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And the gentleman sat down and didn't get up, and that's the end of the story. The Bible says, and immediately, the man was made well. Not at a touch from Jesus, at mere words from Jesus. He took up his bed and he walked. He didn't have to say anything special. He didn't have to do anything special. All he had to do was be in the right place at the right time, which is the place that Jesus knew he would be, the place that he had always been. He didn't do anything different. He didn't come with a new need that made him more qualified for Jesus to meet it. He came with the same need he had for 38 years. The difference wasn't in anything this man did. The difference wasn't in the fact that he sat somewhere different, or that he moved a little bit quicker, or that maybe he was able to dip his hand into the pool before somebody else got there. It was the fact that in the midst of him doing the same thing and struggling with the same thing day in and day out, Jesus walks up, says, do you want to be made well? The man gives an excuse why he hasn't been made well, and Jesus says, rise, pick up your bed, and walk. And he's made well. And so I'm telling you right here, right now, that whatever it is that you need, the only person you need is Jesus. I asked you earlier to fix that one thing in your mind that you needed, that one thing that you need God to do. When Jesus walks by today, I have the faith to believe that he will do it. I'm not an evangelist guy. I'm not somebody that runs around throwing oil on people and expecting them to be healed immediately. I am a very logical, analytical person. But I'm telling you right now that what God wants to do in this church is more than just stir the waters. He's not going to stir the waters of this pool and wait for the first person that gets here. He's going to walk by and to each and every person, speak to them personally. I believe that with all my heart. I have fought so hard. The first thing that came to my mind this morning is, Do you have enough faith to preach a message like that? Yeah, I do. Because I know who Jesus is, and I know what the Word of God says. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so, the general understanding that I have, if I have any sort of spiritual intuition at all, is that this week may not be our most confidence-building week we've ever had. Whatever has hit you, whatever has come at you, it might be the type of thing that just slowly puts so much pressure and so much weight on your shoulders that it begins to feel like you're stuck in mud, like you're being cemented in. When I feel that way, my confidence is not immediately increased. It's usually the exact opposite. But the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And it also says to let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And so those two things, that's not dependent upon you. You don't come boldly because God's given you the ability to come boldly. You don't come boldly because it's in your ability to come boldly. You come boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. So when you take that and you take the understanding of who Jesus is, of what He can do, of what He's told you to do, let us therefore, because we have a great high priest who can sympathize with everything that we're going through, let us therefore come boldly. It's not saying if you want to or you have the ability to, it's saying because of who Jesus Christ is, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That need that you have, where are you going to go to find the grace and mercy you need? The throne of grace. You come to the Lord Himself. In Matthew 13, beginning in verse 53, we read the following. It says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that He departed from there. When He had come to His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' So they were offended at Him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house.' Now He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." What I want us to understand today is that the reason that we don't see a lot of healings, the reason that we don't see a lot of miracles is not because Jesus stopped doing them. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason we don't see a lot anymore in this day and age is because we treat Jesus as common and our problems as uncommon. But Peter says, don't count it a strange thing when you face what you're going through, knowing that the brotherhood all around the world are experiencing the same things. Our problems are unique to us, but they are not uncommon to God. The beautiful thing is that we have a Jesus that is not common to us and that can take those common problems and do uncommon things with them. Do you have the faith to believe that? Do you have the faith to believe that God can work in your situation more than you think He can? Do you have the faith to believe that after 38 years of sitting and waiting for your healing, all that it takes is not you trying harder, is not you moving faster, is not you pushing other people out of the way or stepping on people to get to where you need to get? All that needs to happen is for Jesus to walk by. Because if that is you and that's you today, Jesus is already walking by. The minute I stepped foot in this church today, I felt the presence of God. The minute I stepped foot in this church, He was already here. He was already waiting. He's already ready. Maybe you don't have enough faith to believe that God can do what you need done. There's people here that do. It's not a shame to come and say, God, I don't know. Let people that have faith pray with you. For the paralyzed man that could not get to Jesus, it was not his faith that broke through that roof. It was the faith of his friends. They knew what Jesus could do, and they settled for nothing less than getting that man right in front of Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, listen, because you didn't break that wall yourself, I'm not going to do anything for you. He healed him. It's not always the people that have the most faith that God rewards. Sometimes it's just people that come with the people that have the most faith. And I know that there are people of faith in this church. And I'm done preaching. Because I need to get out of the way and I need to let God do what God's going to do. And so instead of having an altar call where I send out something and you respond to it and come forth, what I would like to happen is titles pushed aside, where we just come together as people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, that all have needs, but that can also intercede on behalf of others. And we just come, and whether you sit up here or maybe you just sit back there and people can come to you, but this is not an ordinary service where you just come and line up and I go down and I pray. This is where you come to Jesus. And you're going to have people that come up behind you and start praying. You may not know who they are. It's absolutely fine, because all that matters is that right now you get to the feet of Jesus. That's it. With the need that you had earlier in your mind. That you come and you tell him what you need. Most people have had children in this church. The baby stage is cute, and the entering from the baby stage and the toddler stage is cute until they start pointing and saying, and you got to guess what they want. Right? It's hard for you to meet their needs because you don't know exactly what they want. Now, Jesus is different. He knows what we want. But why would we not come to him and verbalize what we need him to do? Name our problem. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. And let the only one that can do anything about it stretch forth his hand and do something about it. So whatever your need is, Logan's going to start playing a song. Whatever your need is, bring it here and give it to Jesus. And let him take it and do what only he can do with it. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about Jesus being the same today as he was yesterday. And knowing that what he has done before, he can do again. And having the faith to believe that it's not coincidence that you're here today, and it's not coincidence that the Lord is here today, and that those two non-coincidences are for a reason and a purpose, and that God will do what God wants to do when his people come to him in faith and say, do what you can do. Is there anybody that the Holy Spirit's talking to today? If so, then I ask that you just find a spot. And if you're up here for a need, pray. When you feel like the Lord has met that need, then I ask that you would go and pray with other people as the Lord leads. We're not in any hurry. We're not in any rush. I just want God to have the freedom to do what God can do. Whatever that looks like, however long that takes. These altars are open. Come and get from the Lord what you need, because he is walking by.